Hey, welcome back. Time once again for our most eclectic show. The show that shows you how people doing the most incredible things are marketing their businesses and their services. And today, I never thought about it, but how do you market religion in today's world? How do you get people who, in a world where fewer and fewer people identify with any church, how they market, tell people what they're doing here? To bring that subject up is a woman who doesn't go to church herself, but she's a big sales coach here. We've got Ashley V, our sales coach here. You're the problem. You're the group out there, the nuns, the none of the above.
Yeah, nuns for sure. The nuns. You know, Paul, it's interesting. You know, we have an awesome show today, everybody. We have Father Norman. He's been a priest for many years, and he has a wonderful church. And I grew up going to church. And
so you did. Were you Catholic when you were young?
No. So I grew up.
Your dad was Catholic.
No, he was and then became
Protestant.
Christian. Yeah.
Okay, right.
I grew up going to a Baptist church, actually.
Okay.
But my family, a lot of my family is Catholic.
Which is unusual, because your family is all either Lebanese or Iranian, right?
Yeah, it is like that, but it was through a family friend I started going to Baptist churches. But a lot of my family was Catholic, and I grew up around that a lot. And they
like
always
your grandmother or something.
Yeah,
who raised your dad.
Grandma, cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody. And so I was always around the Catholic religion. So I really liked it. And even for myself, I've always liked the Catholic religion. I've been to the oldest Catholic church in America.
Really? Where is that at?
Yes, in New Mexico, in Santa Fe.
That's right.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm, full disclosure, a cradle to grave Catholic here. Oh my goodness. Good Irish Catholic that I am here.
All right. Good job, Paul.
And my family, almost everybody I know, my wife and I are the only two left. Our daughter doesn't go to church anymore. My cousins don't go to church anymore. Her sisters don't go to church anymore. I don't have any brothers or sisters, but most of our extended family stopped, not just stopped the Catholic Church, stop going to any church.
Right. That's the biggest religion now is a nun.
Yeah.
N-O-N-E. Religion.
Yeah. It really is.
Hey, Father.
According to Pew, the research they did a few years ago, for the first time ever, over 50% of Americans say, I do not belong to any organized church. I don't go to church.
Yeah.
Our President Trump now famously says, I'm a, whatever he calls it, like a non-practicing Christian or something, or a non-participant. He believes he's a Christian, but he never goes to church. And many of his evangelical followers.
A lot of people are like that.
Same thing. I say I'm a Christian, but I never go to church. It's like being say I'm a basketball player, but I never play
basketball.
Basketball. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to that point for sure. There's just so many, there's like different reasons, heavy reasons.
Well, that's what I want to talk about here today, because as we're entering the Christmas holiday, end
it's
of the
important.
Year. Here's the saying I said to Father Norm here, and I think this is true. Last year for Christmas, he brought in a professional Santa.
Yeah,
that was cool.
I
didn't know guys made a living year-round being professional Santa.
Santa.
There's a Santa
awesome.
Association.
Right.
So if you ask my 10, I have never done this, but if you ask my 10-year-old grandson and my 4-year-old grandson, what person do you identify with Christmas, I bet $1 million they would both say Santa.
And I'll agree with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. They would never say Christ. This is Christ's birthday, what we're supposed to be celebrating.
Yeah, I think it's because you're trying to be like inclusive nowadays, and you don't want to offend people that are not Christian.
Well, if people say happy holidays instead of happy Hanukkah or Merry Christmas, they don't want to they don't want to exclude anybody here. We become more generic, although there's a backlash against that, too.
But well, is there? That's great.
Oh, yeah. I think there's been a backlash against that. But oddly enough, it's so you see, in my perspective, evangelical Christians will push back against this. Conservative Christians will push back against this. I say, well, good for you. Where are you going to church? I don't go to church. But I think we should have Bible in the school, and we should be able to say Christmas. And I'm like, then why are you fighting over this? You don't even go to church.
Yeah. I think it's like maybe they're raised that way. If they don't go to church,
so
but they grew up going to church.
So why don't you go to church?
For me, I think it's just, I haven't found a church that I like, really. I've been to different ones. I was even a greeter and usher at my last church.
Wow.
And there was like drama there too, and so that's why
you went to this was a more one of the big mega churches, Protestant churches, and felt they were a little too political.
That was the reason too, because I feel like, you know, they're just trying to judge everybody, tell you how to vote and tell you how to, you know, eat or dress or walk. And if you don't do everything, it's like they tell you, oh, you're going to hell. You're going to hell for burping. You're going to hell for like
burping,
not walking.
Yeah.
Like they're very like judging and just And it wasn't, and I wasn't learning anything going to the church. All they say is believe in Jesus or you're going to hell and bring a friend or, and it was just, it was like a barbecue or party.
I don't think that's a feature of a lot of the mainline churches, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Catholics. I think they're probably less hellfire and damnation.
Yeah.
Yes, very much.
See, that's like the church I grew up going to. It was a smaller church and everybody was very nice and it wasn't political. It was before 9/11 and all this political stuff. And people didn't care. They were just nice and friendly. But I went to a small church last year, and people were like that. They were real nice and friendly. It wasn't political. It was actually a liberal church, too, I found out.
You dirty liberals and, here, right?
Yeah.
So
people were really nice.
So, Father Norm, you're actually a retired priest, but you keep practicing because they need priests, right? And they keep dragging you in.
It's more because I just love it. I love being with people, and I love
get you a little closer to the mic there. A little closer to the mic. Yeah.
I love being around people. I love people, and I love talking to them. I love being with them, and I do that. I do that a lot at the church. I go around, walking around, talking to people, and I enjoy that. And it's funny because actually I'm very shy.
I didn't even know that.
When I was growing up, they said, "You want to be a priest?" No, you can't be a priest. You're too shy. You don't talk to anybody.
You could be a monk or something. So what brought you into the priesthood? Let's tell your journey, your story here. Where'd you grow up? Why become a priest?
Well, I grew up right here in Long Beach.
Okay.
And my family was very active in the church, very much a part of the church. And one day when I was going to Catholic school, the sister asked, "Do any of you want to go into the seminary?"
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that sounds cool. So I raised my hand.
What sounded cool about that?
I don't know. It just sounded cool.
Helping people or studying, or was it a calling? Did you hear a vision from God?
No, it just sounded like something different. I just said didn't want to just go with where everybody else was going to school. So, which is mostly St. Anthony's High School in Long Beach. But
I said,
so you started seminary when you were in high school?
Yes.
Okay. And how many people actually graduate of the program? Do they drop out along the way?
Well, that was interesting. We had about 100 people come from all of the Los Angeles area, and they dropped out quickly. And I think out of all those, only about 10 of us actually became priests.
And it's a long process. You don't become a priest in 2 weeks or six. It isn't boot camp or something.
We had high school, then we had college, and then we had graduate school. We had 12 years of schooling, yes.
So did you, that's a lot of commitment there. So did you feel like maybe you got some sign from God, this is what you're supposed to do, like he was guiding you there, or you...
Because I would say it's a calling, but I don't know if anybody actually hears it.
I guess I like the word calling because it's just something I felt in my heart that I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
Which is really strange because I was extremely shy.
Yeah,
and I could stand up in front of people.
Constantly. I could not stand in front of people.
How did you get over that then to be a priest?
I had to force myself.
Yeah.
So through the years, then you've been in many parishes, I'm going to assume.
Oh, yes. Several parishes, yes.
All around the county or the country? Or
no, just Los Angeles.
Okay. So you stay in the diocese.
Yeah.
And
it was fun, too, because my first parish, now I grew up here in Long Beach. Now, Long Beach was pure white at that time.
Yeah, of course.
There was no other colors.
In the rainbow.
And so my first assignment, because I learned Spanish, they sent me to East Los Angeles.
Wow. Big
gang country.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what gangs were. I had no idea.
Who's the famous priest there? Father Boyle?
Father Boyle. He and I were friends, yeah.
There you go.
And
have you ever heard of Father Boyle, Ashley?
No. Mm-mm.
Father Boyle, he can tell the story better than I can, but Father Boyle started a ministry not just to poor people, but to gangs. And started, I'm not going to try and convert them. I'm not going to change. I'm just going to preach to them. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to support them. And one of the things he did is created these, what I think it was called, Homeboy Industries or something.
Yes,
like
he created
that.
Homeboy Industries.
Really?
Yeah,
I've heard of that.
And then Homegirl Industries.
Food, and I don't know if they do clothing or something, but to give them another path other than stealing and robbing and being in a gang or whatever, drugs or something. Very famous.
I think that's what's really huge. That's how the church can impact people. And that's why I think it's important in society.
And wasn't he killed, though, in the end or something?
No, he's still
around. Okay, all right. He's still down there. I'd love to talk to him. Yeah.
He's great. He's fun to talk to, too, because I was working right next door to him, so it was so fun to
us.
So
what was that like, Father?
Too.
Yeah, what was it like when they?
I had no idea what gangs were. I was raised in Long Beach. I started walking the streets, and I ran into a bunch of guys. Mm-hmm. They were gathered together, probably about 15, 16 of them.
Wearing the outfit.
And I said, why don't you guys come to our youth meeting? And I'd had about 7 kids already. I just barely got there. And they said, no. I said, look, if you don't come, I will come looking for you.
Huh. Nice. You're
little, scared. I don't know. But anyway, so here we were in our youth group, and these guys come walking in, and the kids I had in my group ran to the other end of the room.
Yeah, do you know who they are?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, what's the matter? That's a gang. I said, so? They're kids, just like you guys.
Yeah.
They're like and, calling the cops or something.
And then I said to them, come and sit down. And the leader said, you have to make me. Now, I had worked in construction during my time in the seminary, so I was strong, very strong.
So you're really tough then, yeah. So
I just took the guy down right away.
That's the kind of priest we need again.
That's
and
awesome.
So they just joined us. It was so fun. It's just they joined us, and they became friends, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'd walk into the street, and a bunch of women would say, wow, that's wonderful what you've done to that gang. I said, gang? Those are gang? I didn't know it was a gang.
I think your headphones falling. Your headphones going to fall off here. I got to put it up on top
gosh.
Again. Here.
I think that's just so amazing, Father. That's where I feel like it's like you're like the Jesus Christ, like going out to these people that like everybody shuns and just showing being like a light in the world and having that compassion.
That's purpose.
Instead,
that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what I'm supposed to do, yeah. And I tried to do that. I tried to do that every place I've been. I tried to go out into the streets. And
so how has the church changed over time? It's obviously lost membership, as all the mainline churches have, particularly after COVID. They're still suffering to get people to come back.
Yeah.
What is missing, not just in Catholicism, but all these mainline churches that have survived for centuries here, why is that message not resonating? Why are people like Ashley not coming? Or my daughter.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I feel so guilty now, guys.
You're the voice of the generation, yeah.
No, it is. It's part of this generation that we're not reaching them. And that's why when I was at the parish, I went out in the streets.
Yes.
I see.
Went out in the streets.
Can't just wait to walk in the door.
Talk to people and invite them in and stuff like that. And I still like to do that. I still like to do the same thing. And it works. I mean, our parish has grown a lot since.
Now, what's St. Matthew's like today? Is it full? Is it?
Yeah, it's pretty full now.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think, that's what I was saying like before. I think is you have to find a church that you like a priest or a pastor that you like. Like you like their messages. You feel like they seem like a good person. They seem like someone that you can listen to from
but
God.
But I'm going
to
challenge that. You know? Is it just personal? So if I don't like the minister, I can't go to Mass?
There's a lot of churches, though. So you can find one that you like.
I guess I'm saying I think there's something deeper that the church, the idea of going to a building on a regular basis is not appealing to people. What I find beautiful, the structure, the structure of it. We all gather and we follow a process and we sing songs and there's a process to the Mass and it goes on in a certain order. I find that comforting. I find that a tradition that harkens back centuries, faith of our fathers. I like that connection. Many people are turned off by traditions, by structure, by buildings today here.
Sure. But you also you want to be in a place where you feel like you're there and God is there too.
Yeah.
You know, if it feels empty inside, then nobody's going to come. But they need to feel that somehow that God is there, God is present, and that you're getting a message from God, and God's message to you is, I love you. I love you.
Are we ever going to get away from buildings, though? Will it be all online? Will it be virtual? Will it be Zoom calls? Will it be live streamed? Our church is trying to do live streaming.
A lot of churches do live streaming. Yes, they do. And that works for a lot of people that are homebound, especially because they can't go. So this keeps them with it connected to the church.
But it doesn't feel like community to me when I go live stream. It's me. It's one-on-one, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Part of what I like about church is that communal aspect of it. You're with a group of people. We've all come. We're on a team.
But see, that's what you said, Paul, right there. Sometimes you feel like you're not on a team at church. Like some of the churches I went to, there were people that were, there was like cliques, you know. You try to volunteer in the ministries and people were like so mean or critical, judging, and they don't know you and they're just so rude. And it's like, it was weird. And
then I agree with you. You find that. Yeah. You find that people form cliques, which is really against what the whole thing about church is. It's exclusive. Not about forming cliques. It's about forming family, community together.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Yeah, that's how it should be. So I think maybe it's like even the smaller churches are nice, and because in a way you can meet people like easier, you can make like a real, like a genuine friendship and connections. It's not like these bigger churches, mega churches and stuff. It's like you don't even know who's who most of the time.
So let me give you another example. A lot. I wonder out loud. So this last weekend, church was full. And so my wife and I sat outside in the overflow, which was an outdoor, it's a Spanish courtyard outside. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is the way church started. There were no buildings. If you listen to the stories of Jesus preaching and people sat on the hillside and Sermon on the Mount and all that, could we, should we reinvent or offer alternatives other than I got to go in the building, sit in the pew, they pass the plate around, make the sign. It's very structured. And
to make people go to church? Or maybe?
Yeah, maybe it's a different, it's an outdoor activity. It's a different kind of activity.
Well, we had to do that during COVID.
Clearly. And I like some of that.
And people loved it. Yeah, we had a tent outside our church, a big tent, and people loved it.
Yeah.
And they were sad when time came.
I wonder if there isn't just some reinvention of the building idea itself. Do we like... I'm attracted to old churches and to structures. I'm turned off by some modern churches that are trying to be something else. I don't know, a movie theater or something. Yeah. It's an auditorium.
Yes, I agree with you.
And it's lost something. But I recognize I'm not the majority. The majority of people do not feel connection to old things. I'll give you a crazy example. So years ago, for centuries, people would pass down silverware or some knick-knack. It was a precious thing. It was the family Bible. It was something that stayed in the family. Now, you can't give that stuff away. My daughter doesn't want any antiques or anything that's older than she is. There is no connection to... When my mother and father died, they had tons of this stuff. I took some of it, and I went around the family members. Nobody wanted it. I went out to a place in an antique store, said, here's all this cut glass and other sorts of things that had been in the family forever. And they said, look in the back. We got warehouses full of this. Young people don't want that collectible connection tradition
stuff. Yeah, it's all this like the culture stuff. Everything's technology now. Everything's got to be like the new, latest technology.
Right.
It's like people getting sold by all this stuff, products and companies and stuff. Don't even realize
it. I don't want 100-year-old stuff.
Yep. Like when I grew up, it was like an old-fashioned life. Like my family was Catholic and stuff. And it was like, I think how it was so nice and peaceful back then. Nowadays, everything is like so hectic and overwhelming.
So Ashley, got to go to St. Matthew's here.
There you go.
That's what I think people deep down in their heart and soul, they miss that tradition. They're looking, searching for answers and problems and stuff. That's what I think is nice about Catholic Church is that it's beautiful. You feel like you're in a church, like the stained glass windows.
Well, it's the most traditional because it goes back to the original church.
All the wooden pews.
When Christians were just one church, there was the Catholic Church. It goes back. Mm-hmm. It's the only organization that goes back to the time of Christ here, from Christ to Peter to all the successors since. There's a direct lineage back to that time.
You need a strong connection. That's why it's nice to have groups that get together in the church at home to study the Bible or to go to different places. And it helps. Like when you have a funeral today, when you have a funeral for somebody... Mm-hmm. There's nobody there.
Don't get me started.
But when you have people from church, all the church people come, and it makes people feel really good.
Yeah. That's why, like you said, it's supposed to be like a family at church.
I will tell you the one time I was grateful to be Catholic or anything is when my parents died. Because it's a sad thing. I know your father died or something. And how do you process it? How do you go through that grief? The beautiful thing of most religions is there is a process. There are prayers. There is somebody comes from the group. They support you. They help you. There's a ceremony. There's some conclusion to it. There's some way to work through the grief and all these things. Otherwise, I watch people today, and people just die. And I say, what's going on? Nothing. They just die. They just disappear because there is no ceremony. There is no service. They don't belong to a church. They don't belong to a community. And so they just die. I think that's horrible.
That's what I think is nice too.
And because hard.
Yeah, because I've seen both Protestant churches and a group with Catholic churches, and the people that's always been so nice to me are the Catholic church people. You know, even after I lost my dad, I met some Catholic people who were so nice to me, reaching out to me. Like even Jim and Jan and Manny have been so nice to me.
To them,
you know?
That's who introduced you, I guess. Mm-hmm. Are
they? Yeah, they're amazing people, wonderful, and then they're always like encouraging me and just praying for me and stuff.
And how do you know them? They're relatives.
I've known them my entire life. They're my dad's best friend and very close family friends, and that's what I think is the good thing about the faith. Especially like Christmas, it's a tough time for holidays. Oh. When you lose a loved one, if you lost your job, or you're going through tough times, and you don't have you can't buy presents for people. I think that's where Christmas is supposed to be about faith. It's supposed to be about Jesus Christ, his birth and stuff. And I think even the Pope, I like the popes. I like Italy.
We've got some good popes.
We got you over our side. Ashley, come on over. We're welcome. Come on
in. I know.
In.
You know what I was thinking about? It's funny you said, because I was thinking about going to my family's old Catholic church I used to go to.
I've been thinking about that.
It's, I won't say name, but it's in Long Beach. And so I've been thinking about it.
Say the name of the church. And it's not St. Matthew's.
No, but it's like a small one. But I was thinking about going there because that's where most of my family is. They're Catholic, and that's how I grew up around, with Catholic religion. I feel like Catholic religion, like with the Pope and the Vatican, it's like marketing the religion to help people. It's more serious.
So what are we doing wrong? We're obviously doing something wrong. I don't know. I'm sure the church evaluates this all the time. The church attendance has dropped. Catholicism has, like all mainstreams, suffered, and the majority of people I know are no longer Catholics. I grew up with and went to Catholic schools with, friends, family, relatives, almost none of them are still Catholic. That doesn't mean they were converted to somewhere else. Some tried different evangelical things and more inspirational things and more positive things, like the kind of Saddleback Church of the Vineyards and stuff here, where it's all a positive.
Non-denominational
stuff.
Yeah.
But overall, they just dropped out of religion altogether.
Sometimes you have a bad experience with somebody that's Christian, or they think church people are hypocrites, or the leaderships are hypocrites.
And clearly Catholics suffered greatly because of the abuse scandals. Like, and I know friends of mine that said, no, I'll never go there again because of that.
Yeah, I think because of that. And all the churches go through.
Because they're sinners. Even the apostles failed in different ways. But
And if I didn't belong to something because I no longer like the people leading it, I wouldn't be an American either or sometime. I have times when I say, I don't know if I like the leadership in the country, left or right, whatever you want
to
say.
I feel like I'm going to move to another country.
But I don't drop out because I still believe in the ideals of America. I still believe in the ideals of religion. Yeah.
There's any country that's any better either.
But what do you think, Father Norm? I mean, you've seen this for a long time. Are we just going to go through a period of lower and lower until we hit some bottom and then we'll sprout back up again? Or is the church in danger of withering away or disappearing? No,
I think it's already starting to grow. At least the parishes that I've seen.
Okay.
Our parish, on a Sunday, maybe half the church would be full. And now it's full.
And
what do you credit that to? Is it just a desire? Because it's true. This is theoretically a sales show. How does religion market itself in a world where you got to have all the cool things? You got to have podcasts. You got to have YouTube channels. You got to have Instagram. You got to have constant marketing messages. You got to be on billboards or whatever. I don't see religion marketing itself in that mass market world here.
But there is a part of it that is so important. That's connecting people with each other. And that's a lot of times that's what happens. And so in the church, we not only have the services in which people can connect with each other, but also there's various groups of women, groups of men,
community,
couples and stuff like that.
Men's groups, women's groups.
Where people are able to meet each other, share their good times, their bad times.
Because I think you've nailed something there, and Ashley hinted at it. I feel it. We're more and more isolated. We're more and more work alone. We communicate. We don't see each other in person. We communicate via Zoom. We consume media.
Social media,
more
texting.
And more we're isolated into little chambers, and the chambers get smaller and smaller until it's almost a chamber of one. And we become so individualistic in this country that we shun any participation. We don't join political parties. We don't join churches. Mm-hmm. We don't join groups of any kind.
It's not social anymore. It sucks. Yeah, it's like everything is... Like, I have a friend who lives a mile from me, not far. And then she's like texting me or messaging me on Facebook. I'm like, why don't we just meet and hang out
and talk? Come over.
Exactly.
Instead of the Facebook.
And that's even better to meet in person, to be in person with another person.
People need that. And that's what I think is nice about the church is that I do miss how I did make some good friends when I went to church. And I think that you need to find a few people that you can be good friends with at church. Find a church that you feel like it's a family, like you said.
So
you feel comfortable.
Make your pitch for St. Matthew's here, Father. what's the invitation for Christmas coming up here to come to St. Matthew's? Because I find some people are turned off by Catholicism because it is structured and it is ceremonial, and they find that to be...
Yeah, you're right. It is structured, it is ceremonial, and some of the, especially younger people, find that... They don't like that. But one of the beautiful parts is that you begin to meet people and people that you like, and you begin to become friends, and you begin to look forward to seeing them every Sunday.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh, boy, I'm going to see so-and-so on Sunday. And that's nice. It's really a beautiful thing. And I think that's one of the most important things in the church is that it connects people.
Yeah.
And you're connecting people who have the same values.
Right.
And so that makes
How about connection to the... I really believe in this faith of your fathers. It connects you to the past. I know history is not popular anymore, and we don't think about what happened 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, but there is a continuity to the Catholic Church, a continuation across centuries that makes me feel somehow connected to those who came before me.
Well, and you're right. You're right. We are connected, and it's beautiful to, as you read the scriptures in the Mass, for example... You can say, I relate to that. I relate to what they were doing. They were having a meal together, the Last Supper. There.
And struggling.
One
of the amazing things about Christianity in general is the emphasis on St. Peter. I'm not going to, tells Christ, I'm never going to give you up. And three times that night, and he denies him. Our leaders are always shown as very fallible people. Christ comes in a manger, in a humble miserable. He doesn't come down on a white chariot and we so often want our leaders to descend down the golden escalator. I'm sorry to pick on the current president,
Whoa!
But we want that impression of power and strength and everything to it. And I get that, but I don't hear, we're not in an age of humbleness. We're not in an age of...
See, that's what I'm saying, Paul, is that's what I think is nice about the Catholic Church, is like all the priests and nuns are like humble, like living this God-centered life, and you're not living like the high life, like some of these Protestant churches.
Not living like the Kardashians.
I always remember.
Other churches and stuff. So these pastors have luxurious life, and then they're asking for tithe money, and then the people can be like broke giving tithes.
Always been a struggle I have with many...
Yeah, people get offended by this.
I remember one of the ministers on a radio saying, thank you for your donations. I have a gold Cadillac now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the prosperity gospel that says, God wants you to be rich. See, look what he did for me. Send in money and you can be rich. Yeah. I just wonder, though, when we're going to get back to humble values, where we're going to appreciate humble leadership, servant leadership. We talk a lot about that, but today's world, it's me first. And look at me, it's all about me, on social media, on the reality shows, and on politics today. It's all about an impression. I'm strong, I'm rich, I'm powerful, I'm this.
Well, you have to have sometimes you have to go through a bad experience, have a life-changing experience to make you find God and turn your life around. Go back to church, go back to God. You have to suffer to find God. I think that's why we go through problems sometimes, is because God wants your attention, wants you to get closer to him.
He's got my attention a couple times.
No, but it's like...
Okay, I'm listening.
The Father was saying earlier, like, God loves you. People need to know that, because people don't know that. They don't think God loves them. They're suffering. They're like, where is God? Is he real? All these atheists are like, how could I go through horrible stuff? That's where I think, like, the church has to help people with their suffering. Know that God does love
you. I think the Catholic Church, in particular, it's the only one I know, does a lousy job marketing itself. I think we need to be more visible. We need to be more inviting. We need to be more communicating in different ways other than just come in and sit in the pew and follow the 1,000-year-old ritual here. I'm not saying get rid of that, but there's got to be other ways to outreach and reach out to people.
Well, that's why Father Greg Boyle is so popular.
Exactly.
Because he reaches out to the gangs, the gangs like that.
Yeah. In unusual ways.
And that's it. In my first parish, that's what helped me a lot, was that I reached out and brought in some of the gang kids into the church. And people were saying, what? What's going on here? We see these gang kids in church. What are they doing in there?
They don't belong here. We don't want them in here. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I think it's like I've seen like the movie Sister Act. I've seen all those movies.
Yes. Like
I love that movie.
Whoopi Goldberg.
With Whoopi Goldberg. And she was a singer.
Hiding out from the mob in the first
episode. Yeah, became a nun. And it's like it changed her life. And she started helping people in the community, like you were saying. That's what I think is nice. It's like with the Catholic Church, I think, like you maybe were saying, Paul, you need to go out there in the community, start helping people, reaching the people, lost people, suffering people. Go to the people, families, whatever, and start bringing them to church.
There's an unusual example, but a powerful example. When I was a kid, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and in that world, the Catholics were seen on screen all the time. Bing Crosby, Going Our Way, and that Catholic life or that Catholic awareness, because they were trying to reach a lot of Catholic immigrants, mostly Irish or Italian or whatever, that had come over and watched the movies, they played those themes a lot. Rarely do we see religion in movies anymore of any kind.
You know, because there's a lot of diversity, and maybe families and parents don't focus on church, maybe, Paul. Maybe the parents should take the kids to church, or maybe they should go to church, or maybe they should be a good example. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we should start talking about families.
So, of course, the obvious question
is blaming the parents and families.
Everybody's asking right now, then why doesn't Ashley go to church? She's telling us all what they should do, but you yourself don't go to church.
No, it's because I think for me, I moved.
They should do it, but.
Because I think for me, I study the Bible, Paul. I study the Bible on my own.
Better than most of us Catholics.
Wonderful.
I can't say I've really that versed in the Bible.
It's been really like helping me and giving me like peace, and it gives you like hope, and you don't feel as like a worry about things. You can have like
self-directed study. You just read it. And
yeah, I read it. I've been reading the book of Matthew.
St. Matthew.
Yeah, so I've been going through, exactly, it's like a sign, right? So I've been reading it, and that's another thing people don't do is read the Bible on their own. They don't go to church, don't read the Bible.
Catholics don't, I'm sorry to say. We don't really grow up reading the Bible. We hear the Bible at church, but I didn't grow up, and most of my Catholic friends in school didn't grow up like Protestants do, reading the Bible, studying
even
the Bible.
Even the Protestant churches I went to, Paul, a lot of people weren't reading the Bible. If they read it, and they're like, you believe this and this,
just
or you're going
to
hell.
Point, right?
And they're just mean to people, But I've been reading it, and it gives you, like, peace and a healing, and it helps you, like, feel hope. And you understand what's going on in your life, in the future, in the whole world. And I think that's what people are searching for, especially all the craziness, madness in the news all the time. People are scared, nervous, inflation is high, everything. I think this is a good opportunity for God to use the churches to reach out to people. If they stay out of politics and just focus on God and Jesus Christ helping, people will be less turned off to go to church. I think that would be
I hear that a lot. The churches have become too politicized, and therefore you tend to think the Catholic Church wants to take action on support immigrants, you're left wing. If a Protestant church evangelical wants to do this, vote for a Republican or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're too much into the... And for a long time, all churches, particularly Protestant churches, maintained a distance. There was... Our place was not here. Our place was in heaven. So we're going to talk about how to get there and not focus on...
And that's how it should be, you know, like separate church and state, like the government says. And that's why I think if people focus on, at church, focus on just faith, people would be like, wow, this is a positive, nice place. So if you're going to hell all the time, you have to vote like this, or you're going to hell. It's people get tired of it being judged.
I'm always quoting the great theologian of our time, Rodney King, who got beat the hell out of by the police. And all he could say is, can't we just get along?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. Like, I miss how when I used to go to church in the beginning years ago, it was like a happy, nice, positive place.
Yeah, you should walk out feeling good.
Yeah, and then later these mega churches and stuff, and there was like weirdos there, and then the pastor's living this high life, and it's just all political, and you're just like, why am I even sitting here?
Do you like the big production on the mega churches? Obviously, put on a heck of a show.
No, I have friends telling me to go to these churches, and I was like, this is like a concert. This doesn't feel like church, like when I grew up going to church. That's what I think I like about
it. Some people find Catholic church kind of dull. They're mumbling through the ceremony, and it's just mumbo jumbo, and
I don't know. I think
doesn't
the Catholic
feel authentic
church,
or lived.
I think the Catholic Church is. I think the way it markets itself is just by like the way it's structured, the architecture. Just going in there, you can go there anytime you want to pray. That's what's nice.
Although the doors more are locked now because they're afraid of being robbed or something.
Yeah, unfortunately, things have changed a bit. But it's, you just feel like when you walk in there, you can pray, you can talk to God. You feel like you're in a church. You don't feel like you're in an office building. You're at a concert.
You like the tradition. You like the feeling of
I think if you really are seeking God, you would want something that's like spiritual, meaningful. Like you said, Father, you want to know God loves you and cares about you. Because a lot of people don't think that He does.
Well, they don't. It sounds like you're going to be stopping by Sunday at St. Matthew's here.
Yeah, I would definitely want to go to the church and see it. I know for sure. It'd be
well,
awesome.
What's the message, Father? Did you want to say a prayer or anything? It's Christmas coming up here very shortly. This is a Christmas holiday thing. We don't want to be just negative about what's missing. What is still there? Give us something here.
Okay.
Give us a little sense of hope, and we'll take us out on this here.
Yes, because that's the season. We're in the season where Jesus loves us so much that He comes to live with us. And He doesn't come to live in a rich castle. But He comes to live as a poor person, a regular person, a person that people would say...
recognize and relate to, yeah.
Yeah, and they'd say, who is he? And they would listen to him because they knew that He was just like them. And so we too. I think that's so special that when we go to Christmas, that Jesus is not born in a castle. He's born in a stable.
Pretty ordinary, pretty humble.
Very humble. And that He walked among people. And it was amazing that there's one time where He goes to Jerusalem and people don't even recognize it as Him, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But then...
and a lack of judgment, a complete saying, let he who hasn't sinned, you throw the first stone. What do you think of her and everything? All right, well, you throw the first stone if you're so great.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All these nice lessons that we need to learn in our life. And I think that's so beautiful that those lessons are what's being taught by Jesus.
Are we living in a time of love, though? We seem to be living in a time of anger and hate.
Ooh, yes, unfortunately, yes. We need much more love.
We need much more love,
much more caring about people.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about Christmas, too, is that the focus is supposed to be on giving.
Yes.
Giving. Not giving because you're going to give back to me, but giving. Just caring about people. And it's a time when a lot of charities do well because a lot of people think about, I can give to this charity. I can really... help these people who are starving, or I can help these people who have no water to be able to dig wells, and are a lot of ways that I can help make the world a better place. And that's what I love about Christmas, is that people begin to think about that.
You're the type of priest we need more of. You're doing it for the love. You're obviously happy, and you're having a good time. You're not crabby, and so many priests get negative and crabby and nasty and whatever as they get older or something. I don't know, maybe just crotchety like all older people do here, but you've got a joy about you. I appreciate you sharing that with us here today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I always remember the story of my dad that he worked in the shipyards,
Long Beach,
building stuff here in Long Beach. And finally he said, I have five kids already, later on seven altogether, but five. I have five kids. And I need something better to be able to support them. And so he started to start his own business. And it's just a beautiful story because he built this building, a sheet metal shop, and got the tools, but no one came.
Mm.
And finally he was down. He didn't have any money left. And he says, dear God, I thought you inspired me to do this.
Yeah.
I thought this is from you. And right now I don't have enough money to buy food for my kids. He says, I'm just going to close up the shop. And he was actually putting on the padlock. And a guy came up to him and said, sir, I need you to do a job for me. My dad was going to say, I don't even have money to buy the materials. And the guy says, I do need this job. I need it soon. So here's $800, which is a lot of money in those days.
Wow. Yeah.
$800 to get you started on it.
At that
and
moment.
That was a change right there that my dad's business after that prospered.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a wonderful story from God.
That's what we'll focus on this year. Look for those moments. Spread joy. Think of others, not yourself. That's what I find in churches everywhere here. It's a moment to reflect on others and get away from our self-absorbed selves here these days.
Amen.
It's all about me. All right. St. Matthew's, you can go find it anywhere online, St. Matthew's Catholic Church in Long Beach, if you want to try that version. And if you want to join Ashley, she's going to be there.
No, No, definitely I want to go back to church, guys. And this makes me think about it. It's Christmas. I think it's important to go to church to find peace.
Any place, someplace.
Find a church you like. You just got to find one you like.
There you go.
Yes, and you can even go inside when no one's there and feel the peace.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I like that. I like going to church.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
feel
that's peace. Always really nice. That's what I think is really
not
great
a lot of peace and
church,
quiet left
Father.
In the world either. In a chaotic world, everything's noise, everything's screaming, everything's loud, everything's honking their horns and flipping everybody off and
blowing each other up.
And blowing each other up. Yeah, there's a time to just relax and settle down. My father, who was a very busy man, never sat still for more than 5 seconds in his life. Loved Christmas Eve. Because it was the one time he felt the whole world stopped and slowed down. There was still some traffic, but a lot less on the road.
Yes.
Everybody, for a moment, we took a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And before we got back in the rat race again here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what we're hoping for this year. Thank you so much for joining us. What an unusual show again here, Ashley. I never know what's
guys,
coming next.
You can do sales in everything. Church, business, everyday life. There's sales you can do, guys.
Take us out if you want to hear the sales coach, more inspiration from the sales coach. How do they reach you?
Yeah, you guys can reach me here at OC Talk Radio. We're going to have more updates soon. You can, if you guys are interested in my book, it's called Ferocious Sales Skills. If you have a business,
it should be loving sales skills. Loving, we got to retitle it. Loving sales skills, not ferocious. See, you're playing into the popular narrative.
Ferocious in sales, guys. That's all. That's the only place. Yeah. So, if you guys are interested in my book, I can sign a copy for you. You can call us here, OC Talk Radio. Ask for my book. I can send you a signed copy. We're going to have some websites
coming for it. Get one
for
Christmas. Give it to a friend.
Exactly. And then we're going to have some more updates on the next show. So you guys stay tuned to that. But it was really wonderful. It's a wonderful season this time of year. So just have compassion and just show some compassion and love like Father Norm was saying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, I don't even know where to start, except to say that's one more reason to tune in each and every time to see who Ashley is going to bring on her show as we talk about the real world right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation.